Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CE Info Systems Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Natasha Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Hello and good evening to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital, I thank you all for joining into Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of CE Info Systems Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Rakesh Kumar Verma, sir, Group Chairman, MD, Mr. Rohan Verma, Joint MD, Mr. Anuj Jain, CFO, Mr. Saurabh Somani, sir, the CS of the company. So, without any further delay, I'll hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Natasha. This is Rakesh Verma. I'll briefly talk about the Q1's achievements, what has happened, and the things that have happened. As we have reported on the stock exchange, we had Q1 FY27 revenue is up by 14.9% year-on-year to rupees 139.7 crores, EBITDA at 56.1 crores, with EBITDA margin at 40.2%. PAT is up 8.6% to 49.7 crores, with PAT margin at 31.2%. The details are there in what we have loaded on the stock exchange. We have also uploaded the investor presentation where you can see the details of our performance. I would like to bring to the notice of all that our framework for reporting the market segments, we have changed from A&M and C&E, which used to be there for the last 5 years, calling it automotive and mobility, and the other one was consumer tech and enterprise. The new framework is simple, easy to understand, and it is straight away automotive, enterprise, and government. So these are the three segments, market segments, in which we operate and we earn our revenue from. If you have questions on those, we'll certainly be happy to answer that. The third point I wanted to inform all of you, and it was already announced on 30th of June, the appointment of Rohan Verma as the Joint Managing Director of the company. And with that, the company is now having stronger leadership, and it should show up in the times to come. With that, let me ask Rohan to give you some of his perspective.
Thank you, Mr. Verma, and good evening to everybody. This is Rohan Verma here. So two broad points from my side. One is that, and we have written this kind of in our press release and investor presentation, would love if you kind of go through it in more detail. But essentially, on AI as the first point, that AI is not new to us. We've been using AI for the last 5+ years, maybe six, seven, 8 years, to update and enhance our maps. It's one of the reasons why our map is the best quality and built efficiently. We've also been building AI capabilities into our products and delivering more features and benefits to our customers. Now, what we are doing from the recent times is leaning heavily into AI, accelerating and increasing our push into AI-native product development, AI-native product offerings, and AI-native as an organization. And that will really drive us forward as Mr. Verma said, in a golden era manner. Now, the other part that I wanted to kind of talk about is so that people understand our business even better. We are a multi-product, multi-industry, and multi-use case products, platforms, APIs, and solutions company. Now, for 30 years, what we have been doing is continuously envisioning the future and innovating at the cutting edge of tech, building world-class and a wide variety of products and solutions. And those products and solutions, we have a rich legacy of serving thousands of enterprise customers across industry verticals, giving a lot of use cases. And that is why customers work with us. And each of our products in some way or the other is complementary. So that is the moat that we have, that is the flywheel that we have, and that is what is giving the opportunity of one by one unlocking this matrix of products multiplied by industry verticals that will give us the opportunity to keep growing. We've kind of written down the details of what our map-led products are, what our IoT-led products are, and of course, Mr. Verma talked about kind of our market segments, automotive, OEMs, enterprises, government. We've explained the details of that, who all comprises in that, and you'll see that that gives us a lot of opportunity to kind of grow. There is no other company like us when it comes to deep tech products in India, or even I would say around the world. And as the market in India and then slowly internationally will grow, this will give us the right to win and right to achieve excellent growth in the time to come. With that, we'd love to kind of take your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anmol Garg from DAM Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a few questions. Rohan, firstly, congratulations on the JMD position. Just wanted to understand what is your key focus area for the first couple of years, any particular industry or vertical that you want to focus on the business here on? That will be my first question.
Sure. See, there are a lot of opportunities ahead for us, as I kind of mentioned, in this matrix of products multiplied by industry verticals, right? Some of the big areas that we've been seeing as green shoot. There's a very strong core business where we have extreme amount of market leadership, which is the map-based automotive business and the enterprise-based map-based enterprise business. And that is being looked after very well already. It's the driver for profits and kind of base load of revenue, and there also there are growth opportunities. There are other places where there's stronger growth in the nearer term also possible, where we've been investing behind, which is the public sector business, which is government, and the IoT-driven business, which cuts across industries. So in public sector, as we talked about earlier, defense, oil and gas, these are two of the areas where there are a lot of opportunities, and we've been seeing green shoots. Like that in public sector, to be honest, there are lots of other opportunities across our range of products, geospatial being only one such. But in the GovTech space, if you look at it in India, probably we have the right to win good quality business across our range of products and solutions, which we have kind of alluded to in detail in the presentation. So, you know, these are at least two of the areas that I'm focused on personally, besides supporting the needs of the company, all the leaders in the company, wherever I can contribute.
Sure. Thanks. That's helpful. Second, last year we indicated that there is a reduction in a contract in large auto OEM. Now, just wanted to understand that did this happen in the 2H of last year? And if that is the case, then 2H of FY27, could it be much better this year, given that we have a weaker base over there?
Anmol, it was not, and it is not a reduction in the contract. Some of the vehicles probably are not, the OEM has decided not to have the entire technology, not just ours, but the technology all related to that, not to put into the vehicle at last year. Now, that may continue this year, but the two things are to be noted. One is the worst case scenario could be that the contract period might get extended, or they might change, or which we believe they are in the process of changing, where more vehicles will come with our technology.
Right, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand when did it start in last year, because that will give us an idea to look at our Y-on-Y growth for the next couple of quarters.
It got time shifted. As Mr. Verma explained, this is time shifted. And second half is when the time shifting, let's say, started happening last year. Otherwise, as we said before, automotive actually would have grown even more. Although, as you see in that AEG split, that's an important slide that we have put, where, you know, for every quarter, for the last 9 quarters, including this quarter, we have shown how automotive, enterprise, and government segmental revenue has kind of evolved. And if you look at it, automotive has been growing. If you look at this Q1 year-on-year from 26 crores in Q1 FY25 to 46 crores in Q1 FY26 to 59 crores in Q1 FY27. But yes, yearly trend, it was 182 in FY25, became 190 in FY26, and that is where if the time shifting had not, let's say, happened, second half, that growth would have been more in automotive.
Understood. And one last thing in this quarter we have stated in our presentation that there was a 4 crore write-off in one of the clients. So can you talk a little bit more on it? Is this amount recoverable over the next few quarters?
Okay, first let me tell you, it is a one-time write-off of a government client. Now, because of that, the impact has been, which is almost like a 4 crore, but the net effect of that is only 80 lakhs as far as the P&L is concerned. Had that not happened, our EBITDA would have been, instead of 40.2, it would have been 43 plus.
Right. So from that perspective, sir, can we expect that our EBITDA over the next couple of quarters could be in this 43-44% kind of range?
Well, we have been always saying that we have kept the target for us to do a 35% plus for the whole year. So quarter by quarter, you will have to see what happens every quarter.
Sure, sir. Thanks. Thank you for answering my questions, and I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Lucky Investment. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So firstly, on the standalone business, if I see the Map-led business had actually grown 6% only even in this quarter. And this is the hardware part of the business which has shown a growth in the overall growth in a standalone piece. And secondly, if I see the subsidiaries revenue has again came down. So what has happened to the growth? Why the growth is not coming into the core business?
I mean, this, Amar, just to you have to look at the console. The standalone will not give you the right picture because, as we've explained before, some of the government business, the IoT business, the business is one in MapmyIndia because MapmyIndia has credentials and then it gets subcontracted for government to the government subsidiary, and for IoT, the execution happens from the IoT subsidiary. So there is not much value in kind of analyzing standalone and consolidated. And standalone, you should look at the consolidated, and then you can look at independently, let's say the subsidiary, but those are private listed. So at the console level, what you see is map-led and IoT-led, which is, showing this different dynamics. Map-led went from 98.2 crore to 98.7, and IoT-led went from 23.4 to 41. So, and in that map-led, I mean, as we kind of talked about, that for government specifically, I can say, government is a slow starter in the years. It is, Q1 is generally the weakest in government. You can see the last 9 years, 9 quarters kind of, trend. So I hope that kind of gives you some sense of what's going on. If you look at automotive, it's gone from 45.7 to 58.8%, which is a 58.8 crore, which is a 29% jump. Then enterprise has grown from 60.6 to 64 crore, which is a 6% jump. So.
Okay. So, and secondly, sir, now in terms of the growth, how we should see the growth going forward? If I see the Q4, there were a few backlogs which we talked about on the government side, which were likely to be pushed in this year as a whole. So then, how we should look overall growth in this quarter on a console basis?
This Amar, what we had disclosed at end of Q4 or FY26 was an open order book of 1750 crore, which had grown, I think, from 1500 crore the previous year end. So that gives us strong kind of visibility into previous to 1500 crore, it was about 1350 crore. Was the open order book. So that's grown healthily, and that's what gives us the visibility into future growth. We can't obviously comment quarter on quarter what is going to happen. You can keep seeing the performance every quarter. Okay. This quarter has been good quarter. And, you know, we have a pretty solid open order book. Teams are hard at work, and, you know, we are confident about what we're going to do in the time to come.
Okay. So basically you are saying on a full year basis, this open order book will percolate into the revenue and the growth should be visible. Because, sir, frankly speaking, the growth we are expecting, right, a company like us, should be a much higher growth, and specifically on a core business basis, the growth should be there, right? The map-led growth, if you see in this quarter, is basically very, very flat kind of a growth. It is largely the IoT which is basically growing, and that is the reason the profitability has also got impacted, because obviously the IoT business will not have a similar kind of profitability.
I will suggest that if you understand the overall MapmyIndia business, it is map-led, IoT-led. It is automotive, corporate, enterprise, and government. And within automotive, two-wheelers, four-wheelers, commercial vehicles, like that. In enterprise, again, you have all kinds of industries, whether it is BFSI, quick commerce, e-commerce, or you name it, okay? And the government also, it is so many different verticals. Now, if each of them, if you start trying to look at that, why didn't two-wheeler grow, or why didn't quick commerce grow, it will not give you a true picture. What you have to really look at is, one, or understand that, one, we are so well diversified that our risk is minimized. Imagine even one contract that got delayed, or let's say the one Anmol was talking about, it didn't impact us adversely to that extent, because we were still diversified within our overall business. I suggest two couple of things. One is look at the annual scenario, number one. Second is look at the diversification that we have, because the concentration also you people look at very closely, that how much is the concentration. So even that is well diversified. So this removes the risk of a company's growth, a company's profitability, and all that.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the order book. Obviously we have a healthy order book that provides us the visibility. But within that, if you can provide the mix of the order book, how much of that would be automotive, enterprise, and government? So that would be helpful to understand which segment will drive the growth. And within the enterprise, which is the focus vertical for us, so if you can update on the recent deal wins that we had, especially with the e-commerce, large e-commerce player, where we are in terms of the traction there and the scaling that deal.
Rohan will tell you more, but I'm sure you are from Mumbai, correct?
Yes.
Now, if you see what Amazon Now is doing, I don't know if you have used Amazon Now for quick commerce or not.
Yeah,
but
MapMind
is powering it, correct?
Okay.
And you can see our logo also at some places. So point I'm trying to make is every industry, within the industry also certain activities get impacted by some of the technologies that we bring in. So just thinking that quick commerce will only grow or BFSI will only grow, I don't think it doesn't give us any direct picture or direct clue. What we look at is what the technology products platform we have built or we are continuously building. Now with AI, the delivery system is becoming much, much better and useful for the customers. So it's a combination of all of that is what leads us to the entire growth story. But Rohan, you can add something.
Yeah. So we disclose currently, Amit, the order book split by fixed pricing and volume based. So that last year we would have given, end of last year, meaning 3 months ago, we would have given that split to give a sense of kind of what is fixed visibility versus what is volume based. And there's a track record in terms of kind of, order book to kind of revenue conversion. Obviously, internally, kind of what we do is order book is at an individual order level, and there's a billing kind of that happens against that order. So we have, but for competitive reasons, at least so far, we are not disclosing that. But obviously, this is how we track the visibility of the business at a market segment level, AEG, but also, sub-vertical as well as customer-wise. Because even before that, we have the whole funnel of customers that we are engaged with. And at all metrics, across the AEG, all three are looking good. And within AEG, the sub-verticals, different ones are growing at different rates. That is what the effort of the team is, to maximize the order bookings and then from there the execution or the billing and hence the revenue. So, but we disclose it right now, the order book as volume and fixed, and we do this once a year.
Okay. And so my second question is on the write-off that we have taken in this quarter. So just a connection to that in terms of the government business that we have. So if you can tell us what part of your receivables would be from the government contracts, and in terms of the incremental business that we're getting from the government contract, is there any further risk of any kind of write-off that we're seeing, or any like collection delay that we see in the government contracts versus the others? And in terms of our three-year strategy, how we want to approach the government contracts?
Also, sorry, just to kind of complete the answer to the second part of your last question, which is kind of wins across enterprise. We've talked about this mobility and logistics wins, the BFSI wins, and the manufacturing and telecom wins, as well as some renewable energy. So there are wins across the sub-segments. Sorry, I'm just kind of concluding on that previous question. When it comes to government, yeah, this was a one-time write-off for a very specific customer that we had to take. In general, yes, we are carefully tracking the government receivables. It is a longer cycle on government than on the automotive and enterprise. And as government has grown, it has, you know, kind of reflected in the receivables that the company has. I would still say that our receivables are far better than peer companies when it comes to government. But yes, we also have to be careful, and I think that's some of the things that we are looking at very carefully, continuing to look carefully, and we do course corrections, as part of that, and this write-off was kind of as part of that only.
The reason we did the write-off was when we were 100% sure that it will never be able to get that revenue, we decided that it's better to do the write-off than just keep it in our receivables.
Okay. And in terms of the overall receivables that we have, what part would be from government contracts as of the end of this quarter?
Yeah, this receivables we must have shared in the FY26 end quarter. Balance sheet is there on the investor. I don't have it just off the top of my hand, so I don't remember.
Q1
we have not given the balance sheet, but just like a quarter ago we had given it.
Right.
And the majority of the receivable will be from government. If the total was, I'm trying to remember, it was 120, 130 crores. What was the receivable total? 176 crores was the total at the end of FY26. Majority of that was from the government. Not like large majority, but I can't give the exact number, but it was a majority, but not like a large majority.
Okay, Ron. Thank you and all the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Gautam Rathi from CWC. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my question and congrats on a good set of numbers. I have a few of them, but just before the questions, Mr. Verma, you just clarified the impact due to this receivable write-off is only 80 lakhs on the P&L, right? But the press release presentation which I read, it says EBITDA margin was impacted by 4% due to this 4 crore one-time write-off. So I just wanted to reconcile, because if I take 4%, it comes to the right number, but there is some disconnect, right? So if you can clarify that first.
Okay, let me make you understand in a simple way. Approximately 4 crores was the one where our receivable existed. That 4 crore of receivable, and back to back there was a payment for 3.2 CR. Okay? Now, now I don't have to make that payment of 3.2 CR, and I am not going to get the 4 crore CR. So the accounting treatment of that has been
net 80 lakhs.
Okay, so in your P&L, the charge-off is only 80 lakhs. So that means your EBITDA margin, which you have written in the presentation that it is impacted by 4%, is actually much lower. It's about 1.5%.
EBITDA margin is impacted, but PAT margin. PAT 80 lakhs is impacted, hai na. EBITDA margin is impacted more, 4%.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to understand, that how EBITDA margin is impacted 4%. Because that write-off that happened has gone into the other expense. And that the payback, what we don't have to make the payment, has gone as an other income.
Understood. So your net impact is 80, but actually the reported EBITDA is impacted by 4%, but it's coming in other income that is below the EBITDA. That's what you're saying.
Right, you got it.
That's why. Okay, understood. That's very clear. Understood. Second, just actually now, two things. One is, can you share some update on your international regions, which you had forayed some time back? How is it going? How is it is progressing? That is one. And second, also, if you can help us understand the seasonality of the services part of the IoT business, right? Because my understanding, or at least the way we look at it, we thought it's much recurring business and over a period of time, but there seems to be some seasonality there too. So if you can just help us understand that better also.
Sure. Let me answer the second one first. It's easy. It's something that we've explained before, which is, see, any immediate growth that you see in IoT, it is always hardware first, right? And you see that reflected in our IoT numbers right now when we did the IoT-led, where we kind of talked about how IoT-led has grown significantly, I think from some 23 to 38, somewhere 23 to 41 crores,
41,
right?
Yeah.
And you're seeing that reflected in the hardware, which is 7 crores to 23 crores.
No, sorry, Rohan, my question was...
No, let me explain.
Uh-huh,
this increase will lead to SaaS revenue in the time to come. That has always been the case. So there is...
I'm trying to understand the quarterly seasonality. I just want to understand...
It's not a quarterly seasonality, Gautam. It's not... See, our EBITDA on IoT or our services revenue on IoT basically starts subsequent to the hardware revenue, right? So it is, if we have, for example, we talked about at the end of Q4 that, you know, two very large IoT accounts amongst other IoT wins came from the auto and enterprise business and the government business, right? So now necessarily what that means is that hardware will grow first, which will be lower margin, and then the SaaS will kick in. So it is a continuous, you know, there's a previous SaaS revenue that is coming, and then there will be a new SaaS revenue that will come. So, you know, saying that, is there a seasonality? It is like when growth starts, there will be lower margin, and then, as you know, the margin will kick in later. So it's not a quarterly seasonality in a growing business. It's just a kind of a S-curve is not the right way to say it, but... I hope you understand.
Put my question better. See, I'm not at all talking about margin. So let's not, just the revenue part. Like you said, right? So it's a, when it moves from hardware to services over time, which you get, it is a cumulative, right? So every quarter you keep on adding hardware, the revenue of the services will keep on flowing later in the coming quarter. So logically, the services revenue is a build-up quarter by quarter, which means the old revenue plus the new revenue will keep on stacking up, right? I am just trying to understand, if you think about it that way, so going from 37 crore in Q2 FY26 to 27 crore in Q3 to 24 crore in Q4 and to 18 crore in Q1 of the services part of the IoT revenue, that is the only seasonality.
Yeah, okay, Gautam, Q1 to Q1 is 16.3 to 18.
Yep.
I think what is getting confused is you're looking at sequential quarter, but our billing cycles for services varies. It might be yearly also, might be 2-yearly also, or it might be monthly, or it might be quarterly, or it might be 6-monthly. So Q4 historically, if you've seen the IoT-led, is a large number. So comparing Q4 to Q1, is will not give you the picture.
Actually, okay, fine. I'll just take it offline. Just if I may, the last one.
Yeah, the IoT, the international business.
Yeah.
Tell you, international business. Yeah, things are going fine. I don't know in our P&L if we've shown the share of loss of JV. Have you shown it in the P&L?
Yeah,
See that is reduced, I'm guessing. Have you shown it in the financials?
Yep.
It has reduced. So what that means is, you know, some, like we said, you know, we are continuously kind of monitoring what's happening in the JV. That's part of our international business. For Southeast Asia, like that, we are making other smaller, let's say, investments in some other geographies, which we have talked about, like Middle East or some other areas. So, in those areas, one of the things that we're doing is trying to sell our full stack of solutions, you know, map-led and IoT-led. So, it's still developing. You know, we have to be patient, especially in Southeast Asia. But, you know, it is an interesting, exciting market from a medium-term point of view. And we are continuously doing some course correction or the other so that we ultimately kind of win the international business also in a good way.
So in the current revenue, there might not be a material contribution directly into our P&L on the revenue side.
No, it's not.
Right? That's fair.
Loss or profit.
Not material.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Chris PMS. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, in automotive segment, just wanted to understand how is the mix in terms of the two-wheelers, passenger vehicle and CVs in terms of the revenue?
I mean, it's all shown in the automotive. We have explained it. So, and we have also given, if you see the highlights, we've talked about in automotive, the wins that we've had across a leading two-wheeler OEM, even an export maps program we have won for an existing passenger vehicle OEM customer for international. Some of the development deployments that have gone live is like Tata Sierra EV for the EV trip planning. All new vehicle launches have happened across two-wheelers like Suzuki, Vespa, Ultraviolet, Ampere, and some IoT deployments which have happened in Fast and some other OEMs across line fit and aftermarket. And in general, kind of we are building up our business in a gradual way across this AI-powered cockpit, in-vehicle intelligence, SDV, and EV charging network. So I think it's on the right track, you know, it's looking good at a total level of auto.
So I think that your revenue more than 75% will come most probably to come from this passenger vehicle segment. Is it right, sir?
We don't break out you know, sub vertical level, Abhishek.
So how is the revenue per vehicle in terms of the two-wheelers, passenger vehicles, CVs, and how much the increase you are expecting in coming quarters?
This is all bespoke. Price is a function of product and use case and customers, and it's all negotiated bespoke. So I can't speak to individual prices or even, it's all competitive information. So.
Got it, sir. And how is the share of business in the large passenger vehicles OEMs like in Maruti, Hyundai and others, Mahindra and Mahindra?
Yeah, we are the provider there. We are the supplier there.
And how much is the share of business in them?
We are the supplier there. We have all the shares in these companies. Maruti, Hyundai, Mahindra.
Okay, got it. So, sir, just wanted to understand what kind of the growth you are targeting in the this automotive segment in this year, 4FY27, sir?
I mean, it's looking good. I mean, target, I mean, I'm not going to talk about quantitative target, but the objective is to keep winning more orders and to execute on the orders and to kind of, as I said before, we have multiple products for multiple products, platforms, APIs and solutions for every vertical, including automotive and its sub-verticals.
And sub-verticals.
And its sub-verticals. So, I mean, you know, we are continuously kind of adding. And if you look at the history of our automotive highlights, we have been sharing it for like 5 years, you start seeing the expansion of our product range across OEMs. And so as that increases, the revenue will also increase there.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Pranaya Jain from Banyan Tree Advisors Private Limited. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, please proceed with your question.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. Number one is that I want to understand how a typical contract with an automotive client and an enterprise client look like. If you can spend some time on, you know, what is the typical tenure, how is the pricing structured at inception, what are the provisions for, say, a price escalation or scope expansion over the life of the contract, that would be great. So that is my first question.
Yeah, you know, in the slides in the investor presentation, we've gone into fair amount of detail to explain the business description. We've talked about products, we've talked about industries, we've also talked about the way that we deliver our various products, platforms, APIs and solutions, and there we have talked about the revenue model. So I'll kind of point you to that, where we talk about product licensing and subscriptions, which is that maps as a service, software as a service, platform as a service. Then we do device sales and device as a service, where we provide it either in a CapEx mode where the customer buys the device or the customer is leasing the device along with the SaaS that he's paying us. And finally, we also have the option of, or in some cases, providing the delivery of the solutions, services, and systems integration. So you can think that we are both an OEM as well as in some cases, we are able to do FDE/systems integration type of work, forward deployed engineering and systems integration. Pricing model is either one of per vehicle or per API transaction or per user or per solution, whatever is applicable for that particular customer and product, and it's for certain time periods. So we've explained that. I think it'll be good if you kind of go through that. It'll help you understand.
Yeah, I have gone through that. So I also wanted to understand, you know, typically what is the tenure of the contract, like say,
There's no typical. It varies. I mean, for some customer, it could be 5 years. Some customer, it could be 1 year. I mean, there's no typical. It is all bespoke. I mean, the model is that we are, what we explained that, but, you know, it is a portfolio of kind of deals.
Right. Understood. And second question is on, say, wallet share expansion. Like, within the same customer, how do you grow your sales?
Yeah, that is what we explained, that for every customer, okay, we have multiple use cases for their variety of needs based on our multiple products, platforms, APIs and solutions. Actually, that is what makes us interesting and differentiated to the customer also. Unlike any other company, there are multiple products we can offer, and also we can do solutions, especially in our segments of this map-led and IoT-led, which we have detailed out of what do we mean in map-led, what do we mean in IoT-led. It's all deep tech. It's all digital transformation-driven. It is all sunrise sectors, which have been adopted well in the past and some which are getting adopted now and in the future. So in every customer, there are opportunities for wallet expansion. And that is what the cadence is for our teams in existing customers. And then we also kind of replicate what we have done for that customer to other players in that industry. And that's kind of how the business, you know, kind of the order book and then the billing revenue kind of grows.
Understood. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Jainam Doshi from Chris PMS. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, so just wanted to confirm, like, the reason for lower gross margins, is it primarily due to the change in the product mix, like higher growth of IoT hardware sales is leading to such like blended margins, or how is it, like, if you can give a color of that?
You're talking about lower margin means lower EBITDA
margin. Like, gross margins, which is, yeah, that is also okay. Like, we can talk about EBITDA also. That will be, like, it will trickle.
We have not talked about gross margin. We have given you the idea of EBITDA margin, correct?
Right.
But the mix is different. Yeah, you are right. The mix for this particular quarter was different. Sure. That is what we have kind of mentioned, I think, somewhere. Yeah. And you can see that reflected in that hardware mix versus services mix.
Understood. And sir, how are we evaluating the digital twin cities opportunities which is unfolding? Like, are we looking at such opportunities aggressively? And with respect to the Naksha scheme being launched by Maharashtra government, will we play a role there? Like, just to understand on the government side for it.
Yeah, we are pretty well positioned in digital twin from a capability point of view. I think more we are platform company there. With you know, not just geospatial but IoT and process twin, you know, we are of course looking at all of these carefully. We are careful in terms of what we pick, as somebody was mentioning before, what will lead to good receivables versus bad receivables. We've seen that issue play out in the peer companies, and we want to be careful there. And so we are looking at that space quite aggressively, and we have strong capabilities, but we'll be calibrated in our approach.
Understood. Thanks a lot. That's it from my end.
Thank you, sir. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
So, just thank you everybody for kind of joining, and we look forward to, you know, the year to come.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.